This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Julian Ng. Now, it's 7:36 in the morning, Wednesday the 22nd of January, which means that in about half an hour, Wang Xiaoning, you will be speaking with Zurich General Insurance Malaysia.
Yeah, it's I'm going to be speaking to their CEO, Junior Cho. It's because, you know, it's been more than 3 years since the liberalization of the general insurance market by Bank Negara. So now we have flexible pricing models for fire and motor insurance. So I'm going to find out how this Swiss insurance company has responded and what their strategies for growth are in this new decade, despite all the disruptors and the move towards digitalization.
So that's going to be happening after the 8 o'clock news. Be sure to stay tuned. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at US earnings this morning because earnings season is underway. And last week, the S&P 500 closed above 3,300 points for the very first time, boosted by both tech and financial stocks.
Yes, that was plenty to cheer about as the earnings reports come out. Morgan Stanley posted record annual earnings, signaling a solid start to the fourth quarter. Tech stocks also rallied as chip makers gained. Alphabet became the fourth U.S. company to cross the $1 trillion mark, joining peers like Apple, Amazon and Microsoft.
So analysts and investors expect that corporate America will report its first earnings growth since the end of 2018. But the question is, how long will these feel-good vibes last? Now, joining us on the line to discuss this is Grant Bowers, Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Franklin Equity Group. Thank you for joining us, Grant. So investors do seem to be in a very bullish mode as U.S. stocks have largely rallied in the first couple of weeks of 2020. What's your outlook for the U.S. for the year?
Oh, thank you. You know, when we look at 2020, it really has started off well with the U.S. market reaching all-time highs, as you mentioned. You know, we really think that investors should understand that the current U.S. equity bull market that's been running really for more than a decade has been really based on the back of a very strong economic growth compared to past bull markets. I'm sorry, pretty modest economic growth compared to past bull markets. And this sort of modest rate of growth post the financial crisis a decade ago, has really led to a very, what we see as a very low inflation, low interest rate environment that's created a great backdrop for equities in this market. And it's allowed this economic cycle to last a lot longer than many people have expected. So our view really looking ahead into 2020 is that the U.S. economy should continue to deliver modest GDP growth in the year ahead. We think that'll be very supportive of equity markets. And we don't see any signs of the cycle ending or recession on the horizon in 2020. You know, that view that we hold, that the U.S. economy remains strong, is really based on two main drivers. Really, U.S. consumer strength, which remains very healthy on the back of strong jobs and employment and increasing wages. And then on the back of corporate earnings, which remain healthy. And as mentioned, we are really entering the earnings season here in the U.S., and we continue to see good earnings from many companies that we think will be supportive of the markets in the U.S. as we see earnings reaccelerate in 2020.
Now, despite the rally and the recent phase one trade deal being signed, do you think there's still uncertainty in the market? I mean, we still have trade tensions that persist. This year is the U.S. presidential election. And recently, of course, we've got this Wuhan virus, which has the first case in U.S. So what risks are you paying most attention to then?
Well, when we think about the risk the market is focusing on and what we're focused on, really, we are very closely monitoring the U.S.-China trade relationship. It's very complex from an investment standpoint, and we think that it will have significant implications for global growth. But when we step back, we really do believe that the U.S.-China trade relationship is more of a trade negotiation than a trade war. We see both sides as being incentivized to find common ground through negotiation. The phase one outcome is really part of this negotiation, and we see that as a positive outcome. Our view is that we should expect, and investors should expect, trade issues or into negotiations to be really an ongoing risk for the market for the foreseeable future. I think we'll be hearing about trade for many years and trade issues. Aside from trade, we're paying attention really to the rate of economic growth here in the U.S. primarily as we see how that will impact inflation, which we're not seeing any real significant inflation in the U.S. market. But we see the risk of rising inflation as one of the biggest risks to the U.S. market. You did mention the presidential election in November. We think that that is a risk, not a terrible risk or a market derailing risk, but really one that will probably create a lot of volatility in the market. But really, as long-term investors, we often look at the short-term volatility driven by trade fears or elections or politics as an opportunity for long-term investors to build positions opportunistically.
Grant, on the point of the U.S. presidential election, which is going to happen this year, there's a lot of talk on breaking up big tech as well as taxing the rich. So do you think that this will actually dampen the rise of the stock market a little bit?
Well, I think, you know, it's been a big discussion point, really probably for the last 12 to 18 months. Not so much about the rising taxes on the wealthy, but I would say the increased scrutiny or regulation of big tech. And I think the market is focusing on that, and I think some of that is accounted for in some of the valuations we see. And big tech is responding. You're seeing them be more accommodative to regulation, more accommodative to government involvement. You know, it's a challenge because the big tech platforms are truly a global strategic asset for the U.S. And they bring a lot of economic wealth and power to the entire tech ecosystem. But you have to balance that with you know, consumer privacy and data privacy and some of the other issues that come along with it. So I don't see that as derailing the market, but I do see that as an issue that will probably be loom large in the coming election.
And Grant, we're in the midst of earnings season as well, and key players in the banking sector have reported last week with names like Citibank and JP Morgan beating analyst expectations, whereas Goldman disappointed. So what kind of stocks do you like in this sector?
Well, you know, we did see strong earnings last week out of the U.S. financial sector. You know, I really believe that that is one of the clearest signs of a strong U.S. economy. You know, banks benefited from improving loan growth, the sort of stable or rising interest rate environment, and trading revenues really drove record profits for the large, you know, U.S. banking companies. When we look at the financial sector in the U.S., you know, we are still positive on the sector. But if I had to segment it or say where we're more positive or where we're focusing our investments, we really like sort of the other areas of financial services, companies that are delivering or enabling digital payments, financial data providers, fintech companies, versus the traditional banks. You know, our view on the financial sector is that we see this as an area that is really ripe for disruption and change, as companies that are leveraging innovation to deliver financial products and services that consumers are demanding will continue to take market share and lead in this area. So, you know, we really like a lot of the innovators and disruptors in the financial services sector. And, you know, one area we're particularly positive on is what we've seen with the sort of evolution over the last few years with digital payments. And whether it's global payment networks like Visa or MasterCard or digital cash platforms like PayPal or Alipay or WeChat Pay, you know, the world is evolving from a more cash-centric marketplace into one where digital payments offer, you know, speed, security, convenience for consumers and merchants. And we, you know, our view is that this digital transformation is one of the biggest trends in financial services in the future.
Grant, the other theme that has been going on for actually a few years now really is the high correlation between stocks and bonds. And we've also seen the record bond, negative yielding bonds hitting a record of 15 trillion, I think. So in terms of asset allocation, what are you recommending right now, especially for bond investors who don't have a lot of choice right now?
Well, you know, I think it's challenging. I think, you know, as a primarily an equity investor, you know, my expertise really relies much more on the equity side. But when you're thinking about, you know, asset allocation between bonds or fixed income and equities, you know, our belief is that, you know, looking at the underlying economic growth as well as some of the fundamental, you know, drivers of growth that the equity market brings, relative to sort of equity, I'm sorry, relative to the fixed income side of things. So, you know, our preference right now is on the fixed income side, but you have to say we're a bit biased in our view, and so maybe not quite the best person to offer that advice.
Thank you very much, Grant. And that was Grant Bowers, Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Franklin Equity Group, giving us some insight into the U.S. earnings season that is underway.
Well, it seems like markets still want to continue to rally, even though yesterday's dip, right? I mean, it's really just a function of the three rate cuts done by the Federal Reserve last year. There's just so much easy money sloshing around, really cheap money. So where does it find a home? It finds a home in equities. And the U.S. market, when you compare with the rest of the world, seems to be in a very nice situation because you've got earnings growth, you've got the economy doing well, jobs at all unemployment at all-time low. So for sure, I think the U.S. markets will probably continue to do well unless, you know, this new virus really spreads and becomes the new black swan event for markets.
And we will be keeping an eye on more U.S. earnings reports as they emerge. Right now, though, we are heading into a few messages. And then up next, we'll be speaking about the fate of Malaysia Airlines. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.